If you asked me right now what my thyroid or my cholesterol levels were during my last physical, I can go online and I can tell you, all right, once I reset my password, I can tell you that my triglycerides were elevated at 172, but my HDL was looking good at 59. My own data only goes back to 2011. I have no clue where I could find the rest of my medical history, but the fact that I can even look up this tiny fraction is nothing short of a revolution. One that was a long time in the making. Hospitals and doctors were really slow in adopting electronic records until the federal government provided major financial incentive with stimulus package money. All right, who remembers the stimulus package?
We're taking the most meaningful steps in years towards modernizing our healthcare system. It's an investment that will take the long overdue step of computerizing America's medical records to reduce the duplication and waste that costs billions of healthcare dollars and medical errors that cost thousands of lives each year.
Quick flashback to 2009, that was President Obama. Moving patient records from papers onto computers was also supposed to increase our access to health records. And there is still a lot of tension in that area. Enter Regina Holiday. She's made access to patient records her passion, and it was fueled by her own family's suffering. In this digital realm, she uses an old-school weapon, paint. Alana Gordon brings us her story.
Just 6 days after Regina Holiday's husband died, she started painting this mural on the side of a gas station off a busy street in Washington, D.C.
So Fred's in the center of the painting. I started with Fred because I wanted to have him back so desperately. So he's back within the painting.
Regina made this in June of 2009. Her husband Fred's decline from kidney cancer had been quick. He passed away just 12 weeks after being diagnosed. He was 39. He was the love of her life. The two shared a passion for film and theater. They had two young kids. Fred's depicted in this mural, which spans the length of a parking lot, lying on a hospital bed, eyes closed, his left arm dangling off the side. He's holding a pen. A doctor's nearby on a cell. Others are looking at a computer or adjusting Fred's IV. And then there's Regina. She's across from Fred, stretched between him and a nurse. She has three faces. It's jarring.
I've got a plastic Halloween mask on facing my husband, and that plastic Halloween mask is a pretty girl. Because what I'm trying to be is this pretty, loving wife while my husband's going through all this, and you can't see my face beneath that, the struggling face, right?
Holiday designed this mural during Fred's roller coaster of care. She says it was a constant battle to get information, to understand what was going on and what he needed. She says doctors told her to stop asking questions. The mural contains quotes and symbols. A big one is 73 cents in change, right beneath Regina. It's what one hospital wanted to charge her per page to access Fred's medical records in the midst of their crisis. She says they told her it would be a 21-day wait.
It's sort of like a slap in the face. Like, really, really? After all that you've done, after the $60,000 it just cost to be in this hospital, you're going to charge me 73 cents per page just to see the information that we've already paid for. We've paid for all these services. There's no other industry that charges you for the receipt.
Holiday says vital information was in that record, information that even without a college degree, she felt she could identify and ensure he got better care. She'd have known where his tumors were so AIDS wouldn't touch them and accidentally break his bones. Or she'd be able to see early on that he had an infected bladder and needed a catheter.
Because we were on this roller coaster of care where we didn't know what was going to happen to us next, and it's almost impossible to be able to make decisions without access to information.
Regina saw technology as being designed for the healthcare system, but not for the patients. And it's meant that many families, not just hers, have suffered. Regina has left to paint, and she made the case to the gas station that a mural would solve their graffiti problem. So she channeled her anger and grief into art, and in doing so, turned this mural into a sort of ground zero for a patient movement in the electronic medical record world. Because a little lady making a big splash about her husband's hospital nightmare on a busy DC street, smack dab in the middle of heated healthcare debates that were leading up to the passage of the Affordable Care Act, caught some people's attention.
I talked to hundreds of people while I was painting this painting, because people would come up to me and they'd start sharing me their healthcare stories. They started sharing what happened to them and their mom and their dad, and some of them were horrific stories. But it was good to talk to people who were as equally broken as I was.
Soon, Regina was being invited to press conferences with lawmakers. She attended public meetings on the Hill, asking questions about the needs of patients in designing health technology policies. She gained a following, social media helped, and about 2 years in, her mural art changed course. I guess you could say it caught some new legs, literally.
Somebody reached out to me on Twitter and they wanted to wear a patient's story in a medical conference where patients were not invited. And so I painted the story of Fred and I on her back. And so she wore it and she talked about it.
From there, Holiday started painting stories of other people's healthcare experiences on their suit jackets. It turned into a collection of mini murals on people's backs, traveling to spaces where the patient's story has often been left out, where conversations about medical records often focus on how to make it work for the providers, the billers, the systems of care. Regina called it the walking gallery of healthcare. The idea was to remind everyone, hospital execs, policymakers, that we're all patients.
So these paintings are on the back of people. So when they go to health conferences, a gallery starts to form because there's these paintings literally walking down the hallway and you're walking amongst them. And the person who's wearing it becomes a docent of their life.
Holiday has over 400 jackets now. She doesn't sell them. Other artists are involved. And she has everyone from a homeless man in Baltimore to a lead doctor at a Kaiser Permanente think tank to the head of the White House Office of Health Information Technology wearing them.
I saw Regina's art for the first time, and I remember grabbing her hands and saying, thank you for giving me permission to be angry about what happened.
This is Whitney Zatskin. She was working in government affairs when she joined the gallery. It was after her stepmom died of bladder cancer, after early warning signs were missed. Now she's leading a project aimed at improving care. I met up with her and a few other people who are part of the gallery in D.C.
If you live in the policy world or the business world, and I live in several different worlds, often conversations are very based on ideas and economics and all these other abstract ideas, and they forget the real, true, everyday truths of being a person. I'm Ligia Ricciardi, and I work in the area of digital health and consumer engagement. I've also spent a lot of time in the federal government. This is a picture of me and my two daughters, and this was a story about me wanting to have a very natural
My jacket is about the not-so-good decision-making that went on when I was trying to decide if my daughter should start taking a step.
My name is Marilyn Mann. I volunteer with the American Heart Association.
I'm Anita Samarth. I'm the CEO of Clinovations Government and Health. Personally, this is less so about my health story, but the role that I play in ensuring that we think about patients in the center. I don't know, is this me on the back? And I guess, yes, I personally.
I love going to a new conference and going my first day without my jacket and then observing and then going my second day with my jacket and just quietly monitoring how the conversations change.
It's great because it gets people asking questions.
There's different types of people that'll run up to me and grab me and say, oh my gosh, I love the walking gallery. And there's a whole other world of people who were my best friends the day before that now are very like, oh, you're the weird punk rock chick in the corner. What are we doing?
Holiday and others say at first people seemed frightened, thinking they were angry patients. But she felt they were confusing anger with passion.
So to put a walking gallery jacket on the back of a business suit, which is an emblem of power, is really amazing. Because you take that really important space and you put a patient's story smack dab in the middle of it. And now you've reclaimed your power.
Now, the jackets have become more embraced in the digital health sphere. They're almost expected conversation starters, serving as a reminder of why people do what they do and what's at stake. Conferences often grant walking gallery members special access to events that would otherwise be really pricey. And in the world of healthcare and technology, that's a big deal. These are often the spaces where policies take shape, where leaders in the public and private sphere get their ideas. And Holiday says over the past 7 years, the whole field has been shifting in a major way.
Everything's flipping and changing. And so the patient experience has become really front and center these days compared to back then.
Patients are being seen more and more as partners in their care versus having care done to them. And patient portals or electronic messaging systems can make it easier to get information and lab results. A few weeks ago, at a big meeting of digital health companies and policymakers, some major players even announced a commitment to give consumers access to their electronic medical records. It's been 7 years now since Regina's husband, Fred, died, since she painted this mural depicting their roller coaster of care off this main DC street. Regina doesn't get back to this mural much. She lives about 3 hours away now. The mural has weathered some over time. And when we stop by, she notices a few areas where bricks and paint have chipped off. So she darts away and returns with some paint from a nearby store.
So right now I'm taking paint and I'm squeezing it out in my palette because when you have an outside mural, one of the things you gotta do periodically is fix it.
She wants to repaint those parts that have come off to preserve Fred's story.
And I need a whole bunch of colors because I've got to match tone to the colors that are there right now.
Green and pink and orange
full
and yellow.
Palette. Yeah, it's everything.
Regina hoists herself up on the thin brick wall, about 4 feet high, almost as tall as her. She leans against the mural for balance. She then reaches up to an exposed spot in the gray-blue sheet that's wrapped around Fred, lying there, eyes closed, on that hospital bed. Just above her arm and paintbrush, Fred's own arm rests on that sheet. He's holding a piece of paper. On it is a message he wrote. It says, "Go get 'em, Regina."
I miss Fred. I miss Fred every single day. I mean, he was my soulmate, so it's sad. But on the other side of that, I've been put in a position in my life to try to make the world better, to help other people. And that's a blessing.
For The Pulse, I'm Alana Gordon.